Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Panelcast. This is Anthony back with you again with your host as always, AJ.
Hello.
In episode 124 this week, we will be bringing you the news as always. We'll be reviewing a couple of movies that AJ and I got out to see, Kingsman and Jupiter Ascending. And we'll be throwing some other interesting tidbits your way as well. All that and more after the break.
Hi, this is Rosie from Rosie's Reading Corner. Check out my blog at forbiddenpanel.com and discover new and some not so new graphic novels, manga, and other geeky reads along with me.
Hey, welcome back to the Panelcast. This is AJ. So in this segment, as usual, we normally go over the news and stuff that's been happening in the past 2 weeks. So for the first segment, Anthony, why don't you go ahead and lead us off?
All right, I came across something that, as a video game junkie, speaks to me just perfectly well. There is news bantering about Netflix picking up one of Nintendo's perennial properties, Zelda, to become a live-action show. It's still in the earliest stages of development, but Netflix is reportedly working closely with Nintendo on the project. Nintendo has always been ridiculously protective of their properties. And, you know, video games as TV shows, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I absolutely love Zelda. So I'm really hopeful, especially considering the things that Netflix has done with the properties they've gotten a hold of. I'm hopeful that we'll see something great out of this.
I think that with the inclusion of Zelda, there's a good chance we might see a crossover with the Marvel Universe, which would be awesome. But right now, the video game TV show that comes to mind, live-action-wise, that's out there, has been failing, and I can't remember the name of it right now. In St. Louis, in the future.
Defiant?
Thank you.
That one started as a TV show, though.
No, actually, it started as a video game, but they released the TV show beforehand.
Ah, okay.
And that's where because they wanted to get hype in the TV show and then lead you into the video game after watching the first episode.
Okay, and yeah, that one just didn't take off.
Well, it just sucks because the video game in itself is failing, and the TV show is still ongoing, but it's not really any good. It's not picking up steam or anything, and nobody seemed to care. So as far as it being tying in together, it's kind of failing. However, it does not have the audience base that Zelda has.
It absolutely doesn't. Zelda fans have been, Zelda's been picking up fans for over 20 years now. So, and they just keep coming. The games themselves have been great. So, there's hope. I have hope.
Well, it just adds to a lot of pressure on them, though. You know, because if they screw it up one episode or anything, they've got a lot of angry people coming after them.
Yeah, that's true. It's if you totally ruin someone's childhood with an episode, then it's going to be hard to placate them afterwards.
Absolutely. And leading off of that story, it kind of blends into mine because with this rumor going around, there's hopes in seeing any type of footage or any type of discussion about it at San Diego Comic-Con International, which is coming up this July. For those of you who don't know, tickets for Comic-Con this year will be going on sale this Saturday, which I believe is the 20th? What's the date for this?
21st.
So for those of you who have been going to Comic-Con, first off, I'm sorry. Second, something different that they tried last year, and somehow they think they had success with it, so they're going full steam with it this year, and that is that they have eliminated four-day passes. You have to buy all of your passes one day at a time. Now, what really changes about that and what kind of sucks about it is because of that, preview night is now a purchasable item as an individual day pass. Whereas before, you could only have access to preview night if you bought a four-day pass. Well, now you can buy preview night and only go there at that time. Now, what does that mean for everybody else? It means preview night, which used to be kind of nice because it wasn't as crowded, it wasn't as insane as the rest of the weekend. Well, all that goes out the window now because preview night is open to anybody that can afford to buy a ticket that day.
That's cool, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does kind of suck, especially for industry professionals such as myself who get a preview night pass and it's our one chance to go wander around the floor before we get slammed with crowds. And on the off chance that, you know, we have fans in the audience, you know, we get stopped walking down the aisles trying to shop for ourselves and have fun by fans that want to talk to us and geek out with us, which is awesome, but it's Comic-Con. You know, it's preview night. We want to take that opportunity to shop for ourselves before we get stuck behind a booth for the rest of the weekend. So in this instance, it's kind of, you know, kind of sucks. But tickets go on sale this Saturday. You will have to wait into the Epic registration waiting room, which has been horrible. Preview night is running $35 for adults and $18 for junior and military. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are running at $50 each. Juniors are running $25 as well as military. And Sunday is coming at you for $35, $17 for U.S. military and juniors as well. Good luck, because this is a fighting frenzy. Prices have been gone up. Last year they were $45. This year they're $50. Yeah. $30 for preview and Sundays, and now it's $35.
It's climbing, but it's Comic-Con.
It's Comic-Con. I mean, it's insane. I still believe that they should not be calling it Comic-Con. It's MediaCon at this point.
That's true.
But keep an eye on Forbidden Panel, because, as usual, every year we host a dinner on preview night at the San Diego Gas Lamp Strip Club. And it's open to all of our fans. You guys are invited to come over and have dinner with us and whatnot. And we will be posting the times and everything on the website, as well as any information as far as who's coming into Comic-Con and whatnot on our website. So please keep checking back on that. And good luck this Saturday waiting in that registration room, because, I have a feeling that if it wasn't online and we had to do it in person, there'd be a lot of dead people.
Yeah, it would be a riot. It absolutely would. I've waited in that waiting room myself a few times and gone a little bit insane.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Anthony, what do you got next?
What I've got is interesting news, sort of comic-related, well, Japanese comic-related. The popular manga series Terraformers, which, for those of you who don't know, set in the late 26th century when overpopulation is pushing Earth to breaking point, following a centuries-long terraforming process, colonization of Mars aims to begin. Scouting expeditions soon discover that the cockroaches used to transform the environment have become giant, aggressive creatures who plan to exterminate humans. It's awesome.
Cockroaches. Just
totally awesome. But it's getting a live-action version, and famed Japanese filmmaker Takashi Miike is set to direct. He's responsible for films such as Ichi the Killer, Audition, 13 Assassins. He's got a ridiculously long film history. I'm not even going to try to list it all. But with the work he's done, it's set to take what is, because it's still running, the manga's still running, what is a really cool manga story, and hopefully give us a really action-packed, just twisted film.
Well, you know, Takashi Miike is very famous for. I'm a huge fan of his. I'm very excited to see anything he does. Hopefully it'll be in English, but if not, who cares? I'll still be watching it.
Hey, I like subtitles. So, that's my tidbit. It's crazy, but hopefully it'll be cool. What have you got for us, AJ?
And the last bit of news that we want to discuss. This weekend saw Toy Fair 2015 come through. It would be impossible for me to cover everything that has been released image-wise. Let me just briefly go over some of the things that I'm very excited about. First off, they saw images of what's going to be the Batman Animated Series toy line that's being released, including Night of the Phantasm.
Awesome.
I'm very excited about this. They also showed the new action figures for the Death of Batman, when he had passed away and was running through time, all the different iterations of Batman, Caveman Batman, Wild West Batman, Pirate Batman, and so on. The figures for those are coming out, and they look supremely awesome. In true Toy Fair and Hasbro habit that they have, they may have inadvertently released images of the new dinosaur from Jurassic World, which has been kept under wraps. However, they show the toy, which shows you everything, which is kind of silly. Ghostbusters re-release. These things look awesome. so awesome. I just want to grab them up. And the last thing that I want to talk about, the one thing that really gets me home, Transformers. Re-releasing all the Combiners. Devastator, Superion, Menasor, Predaking. All these guys are coming back out, and I'm so excited for them. They look huge, and they look awesome. And I'm afraid now I need to win the lottery so that I might be able to buy all this stuff. For more information and news, you can check out ToyNewsInternational.com, as well as any of the other Toy News websites. Big Bad Toy Store has already taken pre-orders on all of the toys that have been announced this past weekend. So it is now your chance to go ahead and buy something on pre-order. Please remember, my birthday is coming up, and I like toys.
Shameless plug. So, shameless plug.
Absolutely. So that's all the news we have for this segment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm afraid it's going to be everything that you never wanted to hear about with Spider-Man. So we will be right back.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com. where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. And now we're going to cover what is probably the biggest news of the last couple of weeks. And that's all the buzz about Spider-Man.
Ooh.
So I'll let AJ get us started on this one.
I don't wanna.
You don't wanna?
Fine, I'll take it.
I can take it. I'll gladly take it.
Oh, I'm sure you'll take it. And you'll like it. What has to be a beneficial story on both fanboys as well as the movie studios, a bit of news that has come out in the past couple weeks, is that Sony Pictures and Marvel Studios have finally come to an agreement as to what to do with Spider-Man. And again, what is mutually beneficial on both sides, Sony has agreed to allow Spider-Man to show up in the Marvel Universe. Now, how it's mutually beneficial is that no money has been exchanged. Both parties have agreed to allow Spider-Man to show up in the Marvel film universe with the caveat that other Marvel characters can show up in the Spider-Man universe, aka Sony side of things. Which is kind of really awesome, because I'm a big crossover fan. And since Spider-Man hasn't shown up in any type of crossover film except for a blooper reel that has shown up on X-Men, the first movie, which was actually an awesome blooper reel if anybody's ever had a chance to check it out. So we haven't really been able to see a crossover film of like this. Now, they're going to take it and start it off with a big bang by giving him an opportunity to show up in Captain America Part 3, The Civil War. After which, he will be showing up in his own film. So, I'm very excited as far as this goes, because, we finally get to see Spider-Man. Go ahead.
It is awesome. It really is, because Spider-Man plays so many roles in so many different stories related to Marvel characters in that universe, and we just haven't gotten to see him.
Right, so, and the character of Spider-Man showing up, you see him in animated form, you see him in comic book form, you see him in video game form, that he, has crossed over big time, and it's very hard for films like The Avengers or one to take place in New York and never even mention or think about Spider-Man, considering that's Spider-Man's
stopping city. Game. Yeah.
Right. I mean, between the Avengers and Spider-Man Heroes for Hire and Daredevil, that's a lot of stuff to be going on in New York, and to just ignore one of the biggest characters in Marvel Universe just seems to be a shame. Now, with Netflix going forward with their line of films and shows, we might be able to expect to see some crossovers on that side, considering that Netflix is licensed out through Marvel Films. Will that mean that Spider-Man shows up in the Daredevil or AKA Jessica Jones film or anything like that? Who knows? But it'll still be a cool with the possibilities. Now, what this means for the filming slate coming out is that all the films that come out after July 28, 2017 have been pushed back. Thor has been pushed back to November 3rd. The Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2 have all been pushed back to to May of 2018 and May of 2019, Black Panther gets pushed back to July 6th, Captain Marvel November 2nd, and finally The Inhumans July 12th, 2019.
There is one thing that hasn't been mentioned, that it's good and it's bad. It all depends on your personal perspective. We won't be seeing Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
Well, see, that leads to another big debate that's happening online right now. When it was first announced that Spider-Man was coming into the Marvel films, it was announced as Spider-Man Peter Parker coming over. However, there's a lot of debate going on right now in trying to get Miles Morales to show up as Spider-Man in these films. Now, Andrew Garfield has lost his casting as Peter Parker. So if they do go forward with Peter Parker, they're going to have to recast. But at the same time, the argument that's out there is we've seen enough Spider-Man films with Peter Parker. Is it time for Miles Morales to show up and shine?
To give us another Spider-Man.
Right. Now,
yeah, that could prove interesting.
There are two camps of debate on this, and I don't know where I land, personally. There's one debate in that we've always wanted to see Peter Parker, Spider-Man, interact with the Avengers. And casting as Miles Morales will take away that option. So we truly don't get to see, you know, that geekness that we've always wanted in Peter Parker and the Avengers, the banter and what have you going on back and forth.
That's true.
But on the other hand, is it true that Peter Parker's had his time to shine, but with five films, different iterations of the character from Nicholas Hammond to Tobey Maguire to Andrew Garfield, as well as the animated features, or is it time for Miles Morales to show up, who's only shown up in comic book form or the Spider-Man animated series that's going on right now? We've never got to see him in film form. Now, but the way that they're doing these films is, you know, Spider-Man showing up in Captain America: Civil War. That could mean that maybe Peter Parker shows up in Civil War, and then the new Spider-Man film, independent film that comes out, could show Peter Parker handing it over to Miles Morales in that film. That could be a good plot line for that film. That way we have, you know, both sides of that argument being appeased.
Because, you know, I still, it's the geek in me. I want to see Peter Parker interacting with the Avengers. I want to see that banter. I want to see that interplay between them.
Right, and I agree. I want to see that too, but I also want to see Miles Morales on film. I think it's time to not only shine on a different Spider-Man, but, you know, a different nationality, a different race of Spider-Man also, to give this guy a shot, especially considering that they want to cast a much younger Spider-Man to be portrayed. Well, Miles Morales is pretty much a kid, and there's a good chance that the Donald Glover camp, which was, you know, pushing very hard for him to be the new Spider-Man, may have an opportunity to shine in these films coming out portraying Miles Morales. So, who knows in what direction that may go. Either way, I think I'll be excited just to see him interacting. I think it'll be complete. The only thing missing out of the Avengers lineup at this point would be Wolverine or the Beast. Now, I don't know if the Marvel Studios has plans to contact Fox Studios and see if there's a way that they can work out the same sort of deal as Sony and Marvel has made out, or who knows, but it'd still be an awesome thing to see, you know, Hugh Jackman roll up in an Avengers film at some point in time with the changes that they're planning to make to the Avengers lineup in the next three films coming out. It gives a good opportunity for that to happen.
Yeah, well, there's so much that could happen. There's so many possibilities. There's just, Marvel has taken pretty solid control of their universe, realistically. They're trying to wrap things up to streamline their film universe and link things together. Hopefully they can do it in a nice, clean way with all the properties that have been distributed to other studios, Sony, Fox, but we'll just have to see where it goes.
Right. One of the other bits of news that has come out, now that Spider-Man has been joined with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what does that mean for Venom and Sinister Six? Those films are still being slated to come out on Sony's side. So after the announcement of Spider-Man coming over, Sony has quickly gone out and released a press release stating that Venom and Sinister Six are still in the works. However, Amazing Spider-Man 3 is officially and completely canceled. All the news bits that we have seen on these two films, Venom and Sinister Six, Spider-Man shouldn't be showing up in either of those films. So now, how that's going to play off is still a big wonder to me, because Spider-Man is such a big predominant role in those films.
Exactly.
And origin stories of those characters. So, excuse me, how that's going to play out is kind of weird.
But if we still get the films, if they're in line with the existing universe, if they give us solid portrayals of those characters, then it could still be more than worth it. It could still be a heck of a fun ride.
Yes, especially considering that Venom, the new Agent Venom, is a side character of the Avengers. So there's a good chance we might be able to see him in one of the upcoming films. Sinister Six, on the other hand, one of the very few things about the last Spider-Man film that had me excited was the allusions and the little cameos done by the equipment of the Sinister Six. Vulture, Dr. Octopus, showing up of the Goblin toward the end. All the other devices that you saw in Oscorp Labs in the last Spider-Man films is what's leading into the Sinister Six film. I am curious as how that's going to play out without a Spider-Man character, though.
Exactly, because Spider-Man was the force that brought them together to begin with.
Right.
So, without that galvanizing force, you've just got a bunch of villains who are kind of hanging out together for no apparent reason.
Absolutely. So, who knows how this is all going to play out, but I am excited to... I'm excited for what films are coming out. And how that's going to play off in the Marvel Universe. And so I guess it's just a matter now of casting. If they can nail the casting of whatever character will be portraying Spider-Man, then we can go from there.
Yeah, I have solid hopes. Marvel's done great work. And Sony getting on board is probably just a great thing for the universe in and of itself. And that wraps up this segment. We'll be back after a short break to give you some reviews on movies AJ and I caught.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. So in this segment, we are going to discuss some of the movies that we've had a chance to see over the past 2 weeks. One of them was really awesome, and another one was the biggest pile of shit that we've ever seen. We'll let you decide what we feel. Why don't you go ahead and lead us off, Anthony?
All right, well, I'll start with the first movie that we saw, Jupiter Ascending. Mila Kunis, Channing Tatum, Wachowski film.
So yeah, much you want to say Wachowski brothers, but
yeah,
people know one of them is now a sister.
Hey, I corrected myself. It sounds like there's just so much to it. Like, there's so much potential. It will just be awesome and beautiful and great action sequences and just a fun, fun ride. It sounds that way. It definitely wasn't. It was painful on so many levels I can't even begin to describe. Possibly because there was hope of greatness. Possibly because I expected something, anything. Maybe I just expected it to make sense. It hurt me. I don't know how to describe how much it hurt me. We had eye candy.
Yeah, it was a very, very visually stunning film. I think they did a really great job with that. But yeah, here is your first clue as to how bad the movie was. Sean Bean lives.
Yes. Yes, he survives. Through everything. Sean Bean, no. I don't know where to begin with this one. I just don't.
I don't think there's anywhere you can begin. Let's just state that basic plot point, Mila Kunis is the heir to what appears to be a galactic power struggle going back in time for thousands of years. It's King Lear. Basically, you know, if you've got one king that had kids and in his death gave parts of the universe over, the many different universes over to his kids, and in doing so, the Earth got wrapped up in one of those, in one of the gifts.
This is messed up, man.
And it turns out that Mila Kunis, who's been living on Earth all this time, doesn't know anything, is just like the rest of us, thinking that Earth is the center of the galaxy, is actually the heir to Earth. And because of it, oh, look how the two brothers and sister get all pissy and try to come after her to kill her so they can claim their right to Earth. And Channing Tatum as the wannabe superhero that comes in and saves the day and teaches her about her life and her ancestry, and boom, there you go, story.
And if any of you out there listening are as confused as I am by trying to make sense of that, don't feel bad.
Right.
That's literally what it was like.
This film was highly overacted. It had a horrible story. It was crap. It was utter crap.
It's sad because the cast, there were some decent acting chops in the cast. There really were. There was potential for a solid story, but so many holes, so many disjointed pieces, so much that just didn't fit.
Even Terry Gilliam shows up in a cameo for the film, and it's crap. The whole film is crap.
I'm sorry. I got nothing else. Big steaming pile of crap. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I think that's the best I can say. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I personally think, and you and I had discussed this at the film, I personally think that the Wachowskis shot themselves in the foot in that their second major film ever to have been released was The Matrix. With The Matrix, they broke all borders, all the rules. You know, they came in with new technology, a new world. It was so awesome that every film after that, they've had to try to live up to, and unfortunately they've failed. Both Matrix sequels, Speed Racer, Cloud Atlas, which I kind of like, but it wasn't all that great. Assassins, V for Vendetta, they had their hand in. Ninja Assassin, the Animatrix. You know, everything that they put out since then has had to live up to the hype of The Matrix, and unfortunately it's all failed.
Well, when you set the bar that high, though, it makes it really difficult to hit it again.
Right.
And I don't think it was intentional. They set out to make the best film that they could, and they just happened to paint themselves into a really tight corner by setting that bar so freaking high. That's kind of one of your mic drop moments, you know? When you hit something that well, you kind of just got to back off.
Right.
And they've just tried repeatedly to reattain that. And maybe they just need to go in a completely different direction.
Maybe they just need to cut it out. They've obviously made enough money. They don't need to do this anymore. I mean, like I said, I loved Cloud Atlas. I thought Cloud Atlas was an awesome, amazing movie, even though a lot of people hated it. V for Vendetta, which they only wrote and produced, but still.
I absolutely love that one.
I love V for Vendetta. Ninja Assassin, guess what? I'm a ninja dork. I grew up in the 80s. Cool. And Ninja Assassin didn't try to outdo itself, much like everything else that they put out since The Matrix. Their first film, Bound, it's still on my spank bank. So, you know, they have a few movies that are out there that are really good, but the rest of the time they're just failing, and Jupiter Ascending, unfortunately, is one of those movies. We walked into the movie and realized that, A, it's trying to create its own universe upon itself, and B, we had no idea what that universe was about, and C, we kind of didn't care after a while. It was just that crappy. There was nothing leading up to the film that made us want to get into the film. Whereas The Matrix had the Animatrix, it had comic books out, it had different trailers and stuff that gave you a hint of the story, and the story in itself just was so encapsulating and shocking that you were just wrapped into it. Jupiter Ascending, on the other hand, creates this whole universe of things that should be interesting, but it looked like we got stuck into a shitty version of Captain EO. And it just, without the cool music and Michael Jackson to hold it through, I just didn't care anymore. It was pretty, but not pretty enough for me to care. And that's how I feel about it.
It held me. It really did. For 15 minutes. After 15 minutes, I was like, oh, look, that's pretty. Oh, look, that's cool. Oh, hey, that could have been so much more interesting if you'd just done this. And when I'm sitting in a film and doing that, there's a serious issue.
Right.
But, on that note, let's take it over to the other film we saw. AJ?
what had to have been, in my opinion, one of the best comic book adaptations that we've seen in a long time, Kingsman: The Secret Service. Now, this is one of those, if you've listened to the podcast before, you know my love-hate relationship with Dave Gibbons and Mark Millar. As comic book creators, it feels like every book that they create just for movies. So this was no different. In reading the comic book, I'm like, dude, you wrote this because you want it to be a movie, obviously. Well, good job, because the movie was really awesome.
It's easily one of the best I've seen in a good long while, actually.
Right.
It's way up there on my list.
When Samuel L. Jackson is the main villain, however, takes a back seat to everything else that's happening in the film, you know it's going to be a good movie. And this is one of those instances. Short synopsis, it's Kingsman Secret Service is a branch of the British Secret Service that even the British don't really know about, government doesn't know about. And so you've got Colin Firth as the older secret agent, and in as a favor to a father that had passed away saving his life, he comes across this kid who seems to have all the telltale signs of being a good agent. So he recruits him, and they get trained, they go through their training, and he gets incorporated into the latest world-ending mission and go from there. I thought the movie was awesome. I thought the action was on top. Some of the best fight scenes I've ever seen. I felt bad for anybody that went to church. There's one scene where I can't even give it away because it'd be awesome, but it was a very powerful scene in that a lot of people died. However, the way that they died made Anthony and I laugh throughout the entire sequence.
I just got to put it out there. It's one of those things. So much of the character that Colin Firth portrays in this is just outside the scope of anything we ever see him do.
Right.
It's not the norm for him, and it's just fantastic to see him in that role.
And a great cameo by Mark Hamill.
Yes. Star Wars geeks. Gotta love Mark Hamill anytime he shows up.
Right.
There's so much to say about it, but without giving, I want people to go see it. I don't want to give it away. I want you all listening to go out and see Kingsman. It's just that fantastic. Yeah. It's worth your time. It's worth your money. It's worth the money that I would pay to see it again. It some of the lines, they're just priceless.
Yeah. And I mean, great job to Samuel Jackson, Jack Davenport, Mark Hamill, Michael Caine, Mark Strong, Taron Egerton, and Colin Firth. I mean, they all did a great job in the film. I'm a big Jack Davenport fan, for those of you who don't know who he is. He was the uptight guy that was engaged to Keira Knightley's character in the Pirates of the Caribbean films. However, I know him from a TV show called Coupling that had come out a long time ago. And because of that, whenever he shows up, you know, I got the little geek thing in me. And he always shows up as in cameos or small roles, so it's kind of awesome to see him showing up, you know, like, oh, he's like the Easter egg, yay! So to see him kicking ass in this film as the Agent Lancelot, as well as Mark Strong, who I'm a big fan of as well, you know, I thought the movie was really awesome. I want to go see it again.
Yes, it would totally be worth seeing again. I'm just raving about this. I'm gushing about it, and I don't know what's it. I just want to convince everybody to see it.
Right. However, now in comparison to the comic book, there are a lot of differences and changes that have been made. Obviously, from film to comic, you're going to lose a lot of things in translation. However, I still think that the book was fun, and I think that the movie was fun. In some ways, I thought the movie was better than the book because I actually got to see a lot of that action coming out firsthand. And the way that it was shot, you know, it's just a lot better than what I could have imagined in the comic book. Yeah, there you have it. Anthony, did you have anything else you want to say about this movie?
Go see it. Go see it several times.
Agreed. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take our final break, and we will be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Lou Guevara, and I invite you to take a look at my stuff at ForbiddenPanel.com, and you can also hit me up on Facebook at RibsComics@Facebook.com, and you can take a look at my blogspot at RibsComics@Blogspot.com, and I hope to see you guys there.
Alright everybody, welcome back. So that pretty much wraps up episode 124 of the Panelcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Please remember to check out ForbiddenPanel.com, hit up our store. Check out some of our comics and t-shirts and whatnot. I really don't have much to say as far as the wrap-up goes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Anthony, again, for joining me on this week's episode. Any final words you want to say before we say goodbye?
Just that I had a blast, as always, and I'm encouraging everybody out there, just dig into your geekdom. Love it, live it, share it with us.
Just, don't do anything to get yourself arrested.
But that's part of the fun.
Not when you're a geek. Anyway, on that note, we'll go ahead and say goodbye. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.